Now, we've dealt with the principle of non-exploitation in our economic life, but this principle can be extended. We can say that the significance of non-exploitation extends far beyond the field of economics. It has its ramifications, we may say, in the psychological and even in the spiritual fields. In fact, we can say that the principle of non-exploitation can be extended to cover the whole field of personal relationships, and especially the closer and more intimate personal relationships. So let's look at this for a few minutes. Let's take it, for instance, that we happen to meet someone. We're always meeting people, so this is a very ordinary sort of illustration. We meet someone. So it so happens that we start liking the particular person that we meet. So the question arises, why do we like them? Obviously, we like them because they satisfy a certain need in us. This need can be conscious, but more often it's unconscious. We start liking people, but we don't know why we like them. Really, we like them because they satisfy or fulfill a certain unconscious need of ours, a need of which we are not usually conscious, though we can become conscious of it if we try. Usually, of course, we don't try. We rationalise the situation, and we say, "Oh, I like them because they're considerate," or "I like them because they're kind," or "I like them because they love animals as I do," and so on. Or, "I like them because they're interested in Buddhism." But the real source of the liking, the base of the liking, may be something quite different. In fact, usually is something quite different. That particular person whom we say we like for such and such reason satisfies a certain need, perhaps a very deep need in us. They may, for instance, satisfy our need for attention, satisfy our needs to be at the centre of things, if not the centre of things. So if we get this sort of attention, which we need psychologically from someone, then we shall naturally start speaking in terms of our liking for them. So if they satisfy a need of ours of this sort, then obviously we shall want that situation, that relationship, to continue. They've started satisfying a need, and obviously, so long as that need continues, we shall continue to want the satisfaction of that need. We want to go on being satisfied in that need. So the question arises, how can we ensure that? The need is being satisfied by that person. So how can we ensure that this state of affairs doesn't come to an end? Now, the best way of doing this, the best way of ensuring this, is finding out what the other person needs and satisfying that need. This is what people usually do, whether consciously or unconsciously. Now, the other person, for instance, may have a need, a craving for appreciation of some kind or other. Suppose they've written a book, or suppose they've painted a picture, and they feel they're not sufficiently appreciated. No one recognises their literary genius or their artistic talent. So we, as it were, latch onto this. We start saying, "What a wonderful writer you are. What a beautiful picture." We give them all this appreciation and encouragement that they feel that they need. So they become dependent upon us for the satisfaction of their need, just as we have become dependent upon them for the satisfaction of our need. And in this way, a situation of mutual dependence and exploitation is created. One depends upon the other for attention, and he depends upon the first person for appreciation. So a sort of mutual, but largely unconscious, bargain is struck. And this is the basis of most human relationships. In other words, you give me what I need, and I shall give you what you need. In other words, the basis is mutual exploitation. neither person, neither party to the bargain questions whether the need is a real need and ought to be satisfied, or whether it's an artificial and unhealthy need and ought not to be satisfied, or were better not satisfied. The whole process, as I've said, is more or less unconscious. So a further question arises. People might well ask, well, should we never then take what we need from another person? And the answer, of course, is found in our original verse of the Dhammapada. Yes, we may take what we need from another person, whether it's material or psychological or spiritual, but we must take it like the bee, without injuring the flower, without injuring the person from whom we take. In other words, we must take non-exploitively.